Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, we're back after a great first hour here at Upstate Outdoors.
Yep.
If you just tuning in with us, you missed our big interview with Mike Johnson from the Clinton House Plantation.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah, he is a busy guy. Shame on that. We also talked about a little crappy fishing, fall versus spring fishing. And then we wrapped up the first hour talking about northern snakeheads. If you see one crawling across your lawn, boot it.
Stab it.
Kill it.
Shoot it.
Kill it.
Something.
Call DNR. But this hour, after the Roadkill Cafe, we got some news for you from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources talking about deers and bears. And if it's about bears, you need to get this quick because it's going on now. And then we're going to have an interview with a guy who emailed me last week, Robert Bean Blossom. He's the volunteer caretaker up at the Cradle of Forestry in America. That's an interpretive nature center in Pisgah, North Carolina. And he's on a group that is traveling around and doing national wildfire prevention information, you know, informing the public about,
right, for the Forest Service,
not burning stuff, you know, letting it get out of hand, because we got some dry conditions around here. And then we got a calendar of events to wrap up the show. And speaking of northern snakeheads, got this article off this buzznick.com, never heard of it before, but it caught my attention on social media. It's a story about a spa that does snake massage. So there you go. So I don't know. A lot of people like snakes. I don't know that I want one crawling on me. If I had to sit still, I had to sit still one time and have a snake crawl past me. And that wasn't very relaxing.
No.
But anyway, we'll talk about that. But first, we got to talk about some lunch.
So this week, I guess with a little bit of turn of cooler weather, we're in casserole zone.
You've now entered
the casserole zone. Well, it's not really casserole. Our venison lasagna is really good. And I figured I would share because this is a recipe that we do at home. We haven't done it in a couple months, but
no, I've been doing that baked spaghetti with cornbread.
Shepherd's pie.
Yeah. I'll do lasagna.
He made baked spaghetti with cornbread crust the other day that was really odd, but we're rambling again, honey, so I'm going to get to the lasagna.
Okay, get to it.
So what you're going to need is 12 lasagna noodles, half a pound of ground venison, half a pound of sausage. This is how I do this. I typically, since sausage comes in a little one-pound package at the grocery store, a one-pound package from your deer processor, and then your venison is going to come in a one-pound package, I just cook both of them together and then split it up, and then I put the cooked mixture, half venison sausage or Jimmy Dean or whatever you want to use, put it in the freezer and use it for the next recipe because it'll hold, you know, for a month or so.
If you got venison sausage, you could do that too.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Okay. Half ground venison, half sausage. Sausage or regular sausage.
Okay.
2 cloves of garlic chopped, half teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of dried oregano, salt and pepper to taste, 1 16-ounce package of ricotta cheese, 2 eggs, half a cup of shredded Parmesan cheese. I like the shredded kind, not the powdered kind in the little jar that takes 16 years to expire. 1.5 jars of tomato basil pasta sauce. More sauce is better than lasagna. 2 cups of shredded mozzarella cheese. So what you're going to do is you're going to preheat the oven to 350 degrees. I boil my noodles first. A little bit of olive oil, a little bit of salt. I think if you don't boil the noodles, it soaks up too much of the sauce and gets it a little dry. So cook those until they're done. Still firm, not mushy, which is normally about 10 minutes on high, on boiling. So brown your meat, which is going to be your venison and your sausage over medium heat. You add the garlic, garlic powder, the oregano, salt and pepper, spice it up a little bit. Brown that. I will go ahead and pour my sauce into the pan that I have ground, browned the ground meat in.
Now, do you drain it? Do you drain the meat?
I do if I'm using the sausage mixture because there's fat. But if I'm using straight ground venison, no, because there's not enough fat in it to even worry about draining.
Yeah.
So in a bowl, I mix up the ricotta cheese and the Parmesan cheese and the two eggs. Just stir it up good. And then you do the layers. Noodles, spread some of the cheese mixture on, spread the meat mixture on, and then sprinkle the mozzarella. So you just layer it up until you're done. Bake in preheated oven until it's bubbling and the cheese is melted, about 30 minutes. So it's very good.
And it's good.
It is good. The mixing the sausage with the ground venison is fantastic in lasagna.
Yeah. Can we do a goose recipe next week?
No. PG's wanted to do a goose recipe all week long, and I don't like goose. It's nasty.
I don't care about eating it. I just, while you're doing the recipe, I just want to do, like, lines from Top Gun. Talk to me, goose. Talk to me, goose.
If anybody has a really good goose recipe,
yeah,
that, like, isn't gross,
email it to us. Yeah.
And we'll talk about it. We will actually try it.
Yeah.
Let you know if it's good or not.
Well, I mean, we got to have a goose first.
Yeah, we'll get a goose.
We could whack one of them skycarp down
on Woodruff Road. You cannot whack skycarp off of golf courses or grocery store parking lots.
We got some back here behind the intercom.
No, you can't whack them either, honey.
Why not?
It, you just can't.
You got to wait till season.
Oh, God. Yeah, if you see Lieutenant Green Jeans pulling up in a truck, y'all will know that my husband done whacked a goose in the grocery store parking lot.
Man, I got stopped one time by DNR while we were goose hunting on Lake Harwell.
Yeah.
And we weren't over the limit or anything. We were, you know, kind of nervous. And he's like, well, kill them all. I don't care. that's the last calls I get.
I don't think that the people in the city would appreciate that. Well, their sweetness.
See, if you just, you know, sneak up. Sneak up.
That is not how we're going to acquire. We were talking about lasagna and the wheels fell off. We are not going to illegally acquire a goose for a recipe.
I really don't want to eat it. I just, like I say, I just want to do Top Gun lines. Talk to me, goose. Talk to me, goose. I feel the need for speed. I
or just venison do that. Sausage lasagna.
I just want to do that while you're doing... You know,
while I'm cooking the goose.
While you're talking about whatever.
We will spare the upstate listeners.
Goose
from that.
To me tastes like a poor grade of liver. That's the golf course geese. Now, somebody out there who's from the Eastern Shore up in the back, oh no, man, that's flying filet mignon. But no. Mm. You let them eat ironweed and all that golf course stuff. I tell you what. Yeah. So
the wheels fell off.
No.
I will post the recipe on Facebook since we got completely off track talking about goose.
Well, it's lasagna. Everybody knows how to make lasagna. All right. Well, let's go to our break. And then what we got next, we're going to talk about some deer on the roadway and some bear in the woods.
In the woods.
Yep.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, moving right along here. That was a lovely recipe.
It would have been if the wheels wouldn't have fallen off and we wouldn't have gotten off track like normal.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Hey, try to do better next time.
Got some DNR news for you. Where'd it go? Here it is. Got some DNR news. I'm going to read it backwards, okay? I mean, not backwards the way they printed it, because it's kind of late on it. Should have brought this to you last week or at least a couple of weeks ago. And we did mention this early on back in the spring, but there are additional bear hunting opportunities in the upstate. Traditionally, and bear season started last Thursday. That's October 17th. That was the steel hunt with no dogs. And then they do the dog hunt there. But this is for residents who just want to get a bear tag who were not in game zone one, okay? So what they've done is they've expanded it for the first time. Private land in the southern portions of Oconee, Pickens, and Greenville counties, and that's south game zone one, and all of Spartanburg County, which is in game zone two, has bear season.
Which is cool.
Okay, because they've been seeing so many of them. This portion of game zone two is open for steel hunting only. You can't use dogs. And it opened on Thursday, October 17th. And the season will potentially run until October the 30th.
Depending on how many.
Well, and what they do is they got a harvest quota of 20 bears for that entire area. Now, if that quota is met prior to October 30th, the season will close 24 hours following a season closure notice by DNR via dnr.sc.gov, their website, social media, and email alert.
So pay attention.
If you get a tag, they get your email, and I think they will email you individually. That's basically a bonus for those folks who are northern Spartanburg and down below Highway 11 that are seeing a lot of bears, and gives you the opportunity to if you're a deer hunter now. And I'll say this: you got to be careful, because if you're hunting deer over corn, you cannot hunt
bear.
You can't hunt bears over corn. But if you got a good stand of acorns or, stand of apple trees or peach trees, I don't guess they'd still be dropping, but something, just bringing them in, you can't bait them. And you I keep seeing this bear, then you got to get a tag. You got to get the tag beforehand, and you can take you a bear. So, and there are processors who will process that bear for you.
Really?
They're few and far between, depending on what you want to do with it, get it processed. And, I've never eaten bear, but people who eat it say it's an acquired taste, but it's good.
I've never eaten bear either.
Yeah. So, this is pretty much common sense. I mean, this is like year round. If you're not aware, it's deer season. It's almost the rut, which is the breeding season for the white-tailed deer. So if you are driving around the upstate, be on the lookout for deer moving
on the sides of the road.
Crossing the road, whatever. I mean, they do that all the time. But what happens is you got bucks who are chasing does, and they lose their mind, and they kind of drop their guard, which is kind of what we're hoping for,
yeah,
right?
As far as hunting goes.
I'm hoping they'll run across my shooting lane not paying attention, but they'll also run across the roadway not paying attention.
Right.
To cars, if they got,
if they're chasing.
They're chasing or something. Or there could be a doe that's got a buck chasing her, and,
she takes off
and she runs out in the road, and you're being chased around.
Right.
So most vehicle collisions occur near dawn and dusk, because that's when deer tend to move more during these times. And unfortunately, that's also when people are on the roadways, especially with the time changing and getting darker earlier.
Right.
People are on their way home from work or wherever. And so, they end up hitting deer. Now, our state is in a lot better position than other states, particularly in the Northeast and Upper Midwest, where they have like 30,000 to 50,000 deer vehicle collisions annually. Department of Public Safety reported 2,900 deer vehicle collisions in 2018.
Even if you live in a fairly populated area, like, I'm not out in the country, I don't have to be watching. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing how small of a little patch of woods that deer will live in. It's crazy.
And it's amazing how far they'll travel, too.
Right,
I saw a deer one time cross the road at Haywood Road and Lawrence Road.
Seriously, and right in the heart of town.
Yeah, I mean, right in the heart, and where that deer was coming from, of course, back, and this has been several years ago, they've done a lot of development, but if you look, you know, Verde back in that area has got a lot of woods in there. Got a golf course back in there.
They're living in that little patch of woods.
And he just decided
right there in the middle of town.
I don't know if he was going to the Hooters or what, but, you know.
I had a pretty significant crash with one some years ago. I know to look. I about tore up a Jeep that way.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About tore up a boat girl, too, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it was a good one.
Yeah.
That, pay attention.
Yeah, especially.
Half a mile from the house on the way to work.
I do a lot of driving, you know, on rural roads. And, it's kind of funny because I think I don't see as many out there as, like, on the interstate or in places where people are not watching for them.
I think people that drive rural roads on a regular kind of watch for them. I watch for them just because I want to see them.
Yeah, and I mean,
like,
that's,
ooh, there's one.
That's something we've been doing all summer, going down to Lake Greenwood. You know,
seeing how many we can see on the way and back.
We kind of got spots where we know they're coming out at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of cool. Actually got to where we recognized a couple of them.
Heck, yeah. It's pretty cool.
But, yeah, no, nah, don't want one that way.
No,
don't want one tenderized like that. See a lot of that, and I've been seeing a lot of buzzards dead in the road. I guess it comes from when you have a deer that's
dead, or a critter,
and the buzzards are like, "Hey, man,
we're hungry," and then they get run over too.
Yeah, and then they get run over, and then you know the cycle.
Then you got a big old pile of yuck.
Yeah. So, and you know, I hate to see that. You know, we lost a deer. I hate to keep bringing this up. We lost a deer earlier in the week or a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
And, you know, it's like, well, you know, they get hit by cars like that. Man, I hate to see one go to waste. I hate to see one on the side of the road going to waste.
I do, too.
A lot of people, if they see the accident,
country people,
they'll pick them up.
They'll pick them up. I would if it wasn't bad, you know.
Yeah.
I'd pick one up.
I don't know about during summertime.
No, not
summertime.
And
I'd feel bad about doing it this time of year. Because it'd be like, I mean, we only, last year, 2018, and we're still eating on it, eating on them, we had four deer.
Yes.
Four large deer, I might add. You remember Seven? He was a big deer.
He killed my trophy buck that I missed. Yes.
Anyway.
Let's not even talk about what we got on camera right now, because
you're going to
get your feelings hurt.
I'd hate to put a roadkill in there.
Yeah.
No. All right. Well, let's go to our break. Then we'll come back. We're going to talk to our buddy Robert Bean Blossom and talk about some wildfire safety and prevention.
Right here, 106.3 WORD.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, well, our next guest on the show is a newcomer to Upstate Outdoors. We have Robert Bean Blossom. He's a volunteer caretaker from the Cradle of Forestry in America and is part of the U.S. Forest Service. Robert, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Well,
we were gonna ring the bell.
We gotta ring the bell on the first time interview there. So now Robert, you and I talked a little bit earlier this week, and part of what you're not far here from the upstate of South Carolina. You're up in at the Cradle of Forestry, which is actually in Pisgah, North Carolina, but you're down here doing some pressing of the flesh with the locals to talk about fire safety.
That's correct. I'm part of a national wildfire prevention and education team. We have other members that have been brought here from Colorado, California, Washington, and Oregon. And we've came to South Carolina at the request of the U.S. Forest Service and the South Carolina Forestry Commission to help in getting the word out of just how dry it is in not only in South Carolina, but throughout the Southeast. We're experiencing drought-like conditions over many parts of the Southeast. And as a result of that, and there is an enhanced potential for wildfires. So we're just trying to get out into different communities, work with folks, and let them know that if they must burn, and to do it correctly and safely and not cause a wildfire.
Well, and that brings up a good question. So, and we've had our issues with wildfires and, you know, nothing like some of the folks out in Colorado or California, but we've had wildfires in the past couple of years. And I wanted to ask, what is the major cause of wildfires here in South Carolina?
Here in South Carolina, about roughly 55% of all wildfires are caused by people burning debris.
Really?
Then you have about 20% arson, but those two causes really account for about 75% or so of all the wildfires in the state.
Wow.
So let me put this, I guess, from a little different perspective. So, in you know, a lot of folks burn leaves, especially, you know, as we're getting in season where leaves are falling now, and it's been dry. I mean, do they need to refrain from burning leaves or wait or what's the recommendation if somebody needs to burn debris to keep from starting an accidental wildfire?
Our recommendation is, first and foremost, is it absolutely necessary to burn? If at all possible, and you can refrain from burning, then that would be the best scenario. Wait until a large amount of precipitation is falling across the state. But if you must burn, if it's something that you must do, remember that you need to call before burning. If you go to the South Carolina Forestry Commission's website, there is a toll-free number in each county which you can call, and then they'll take you through the prompt of telling you what information that you need to provide. Beyond that, after notifying the South Carolina Forestry Commission that you plan to burn, what are we burning? Put a ring around it. You know,
makes sense.
Put that ground, you know, clear the ground down to bare mineral soil around what you plan to burn. And most importantly, stay with that fire until it is out. Don't take for granted that well, there's no longer any flames and, you know, it looks out. Make sure that it's dead out. And once you burn it up, you know, have a water hose handy, spray water on it, stir it, spray water again until that fire is out. And a good rule of thumb is, you know, feel with the back of your hand, not with the palm of your hand. The back of your hand is much more sensitive and, you know, can pick up heat better than the palm of your hand.
And we're talking with Robert Beanblossom. Robert's part of a volunteer group that's helping inform the public about National Wildfire Prevention. I'm sorry. And, Robert, are there certain areas of South Carolina that this is more common to have, you know, wildfires than others? I don't, you know, I mean, I know probably more so in rural areas, but are there hot spots, so to speak, in South Carolina?
There are some hot spots throughout the state. Of course, debris burning, I looked at the statistics. Debris burning is pretty evenly spread around the state. But three counties stick out in my mind. Chesterfield, Williamsburg, and Aiken counties seem to lead the state in the number of wildfires, principally from debris burning.
Huh. I can't even imagine. I mean, other than, you know, there are parts of all three of those counties that are pretty rural. I can't put a connection there.
Yeah.
It's smart. I'm sure it happens. I know we had some bad wildfires up in northern Greenville County.
A few years ago.
Yeah, just a couple of years ago. Yeah, right. I think that actually came.
I think that came from a campfire.
Yeah, I think that one came from a campfire that was left.
If you recall in the fall of 2016, and I might point out that the weather pattern seems to be shaping up to duplicate 2016 at this point, so bear that in mind. But in 2016, there was this extreme pocket of drought that hung over upstate South Carolina, western North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. And that is when the Pinnacle Mountain Fire occurred.
Yep.
Okay.
Which burned 10,000 acres. And I'm familiar with where that fire occurred. And had that fire been a little farther to the east or west of where it was, homes would have been destroyed.
Wow.
And if you recall, that is the same time that Gatlinburg occurred.
Yep. And that was bad up there around Gatlinburg. There was a lot of damaged homes up there.
I think it was about 2,800 structures were destroyed and 14 lives lost in the city of Gatlinburg.
Wow. I was going to ask, as far as if folks are looking, you know, where are you going out to meet the public to give them information about safety and wildfire prevention?
We've been working in various communities all around the state. We've been going as well as all of the National Forest Ranger District. We've been disseminating information in communities and all within all four national forests here in South Carolina. I was at Andrew Pickens earlier this week, for example, and we've been working in the counties I mentioned: Chesterfield, Williamsburg, Aiken, Orangeburg County, Sumter counties. So we've been trying to get as much done as possible to alert the public as to how dry it really is.
Yep. Well, Robert, if folks want to get more information on this program and wildfire prevention, what's the best place for them to go? Is there a website or a phone number that they can get in touch with you?
There are several good websites out there available. Google the Francis Marion Sumter National Forest, there's a lot of information on that website. As I mentioned earlier, the South Carolina Forestry Commission has an excellent website with a lot of fire information on it, as well as the numbers by county that you need to call and notify them of your intent to burn.
Awesome. Gotcha. Awesome. Well, Robert, thanks for being on the show with us. Great information, and we hope that we helped you guys out with informing our listeners and some of the public about the very important subject.
Okay, and thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and have a great rest of your afternoon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Take care. So there you go. And I can't make the connection between those three counties, but I do recall that that wildfire. He said back in 2016, and it was
that was bad. I almost forgotten about that.
Yeah,
mention it.
Yeah, and that up in Gatlinburg, that was really bad.
Bad.
So we don't want that here.
Everybody do your part.
Everybody be careful if you're going to burn stuff. We're going to go to our break, and then when we come back, we're going to burn up the end of the show with our calendar of events and our parting shot. You folks need to really get into this. Is snake massages. We'll tell you all about it right after the break.
Right here, 106.3 WORD.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All righty. Well, we're at the end of the show, and that means it's time for the calendar of events. Take it away, boat girl.
We got a couple. It's that time of year again. South Carolina hunter education classes are being offered across the upstate. Hunter education classes are recommended for motivated students 12 years of age and older with good reading and comprehension skills who have some firearm and hunting knowledge or experience. Course materials are on a 6th grade reading level. While we do not discourage any age from attending the classes, only children age 10 and older may take the actual final exam. Upcoming class dates and locations in the upstate for the month of October are Cabela's, right down the street. Here in Greenville, South Carolina, Saturday, October 26th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I think that's the only one we have left close by.
Yeah. There's some in November. We'll get
to the November ones next week. Also, October 24th, Piedmont Chapter of National Wild Turkey Federation is holding their annual hunting heritage banquet at the South Carolina National Guard Armory. This is at 165 Industrial Park Road in the big city of Union, South Carolina. This starts at 6 p.m., features dinner and a live auction. For more information, contact Kevin Shropshire at area code 864-426-1840 or email kshropshire@countyofunion.com. Also, Clemson University Conservation Banquet and Oyster Roast for Ducks Unlimited is going to be Friday, November 8th. This is 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at T. Ed Garrison Arena in Clemson, or actually it's Pendleton, South Carolina. Your tickets are a single ticket for $60, couples tickets for $100, student tickets are $45. Your ticket sales online end November 7th, so you got a few weeks. Contact Chancellor Cotton at 803-622-2853. Or you can go to ducks.org and search for the Oyster Roast at Clemson. And I think that's all we got for today.
But if you have a calendar of event that you would like for us to post or to talk about on the show, you can email that to us at upstateoutdoors@1063WORD.com.
Yes, sir.
And Boat Girl will read that and
we'll
get people out there and get people to come. That's right. So, now it's time for today's parting shot. All right, I found this off of buzznick.com. Never been there before, like a lot of websites that's out there. But found this interesting. There's a spa that offers snake massages, and people love them. Everybody enjoys a spa day here and there. You got to see these pictures, too. It's chicks laying out on you know, like they got towels wrapped up. And
like a real spa.
And they're laying in a spa. But they got snakes crawling all over their face. Looks like Indiana Jones or something.
Ew.
You get to the spa, listen to relaxing music, maybe get a massage or a facial and just relax for a little while. Well, Health and Beauty Spa in Israel is adding their own twist to this relaxing day. It's a new service they like to call the snake massage. Yes, you read that right. The cost of the snake massage is $80. So about the same price you would pay for any other massage. $80?
I think the going rate in Greenville's like $60.
How you know?
I don't know. Just see all these coupons on the internet.
Don't be reading the internet. But during the snake massage, they will place large snakes all over your body where they can slither up and down your back, spine, and even your face. The species of snakes they tend to use include the California and Florida king snake, corn snakes, and milk snakes.
That is all too weird. And what if one of them snakes decides that he's in a bad mood and decides he's going to bite you on the back of the neck?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, because of their size, the heavy king and corn snakes offer a very relaxing kneading sensation.
Ew.
Yeah.
No, that's gross and weird.
Let's see. What else does it say? Larger snakes are used for more of a deep muscle tension massage, whereas the smaller snakes are used on a lighter massage because they tend to create a fluttering effect.
No.
Ew, look at that. There's one that's crawling between his chick's
disgusting.
Toes.
I mean, snakes are okay as long as I know they're there.
Yeah.
But I don't want them crawling on me. I will pick up the little green ones in the bushes and, you know, throw them out in the woods or whatever. I'm cool with that.
What's wrong with them being in the bushes?
Well, I mean, if I'm working in the bushes.
What if they don't want to be in the woods?
Well, they go into the woods. Okay. I mean, if I'm working in the bushes pulling weeds or whatever, me and the snake, we're like, hey, man, what's up? I'm going to throw you out behind the fence and you're going to go to the woods while I work in the weeds, you know, in the flower beds.
Well, for obvious reasons, all the snakes in this massage parlor are all non-venomous and they don't want any tragedies happening on a massage table. And again, the size of the snake depends on what you want.
It really decides on how weird you are.
To get started, the massage therapist will wash the snakes, then dry them off, right? Because you don't want...
Let's just
like,
go ahead and make them mad first.
Snake poop on you. And then once they've been dried off, they place the snakes on your back. Then the slithering begins. And the snakes don't mind being handled as long as it's gently, right?
Ew.
There are some locations that push the limits by offering snake massages given by a larger snake like a python. And to prevent them from biting you, they'll tape their mouth shut.
Oh, that's real good.
So that makes me feel better, right?
Yeah.
And
That's before they wrap themselves around your neck and choke the fire out of you because they're mad because they got duct tape on their mouth.
Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody, well, that's not very nice to the snake, you know.
What, putting duct tape on their mouth?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Tape?
Somebody going to complain about that.
That's just gross. That's weird. I hope that never catches on around here.
Yeah,
because I'll be making fun of all y'all.
Y'all complain away. So I'm going to start like a... Ooh, I could do a raccoon massage.
We got raccoons.
Plenty of raccoons, right? They're furry. We could tape
You could teach them to comb your hair.
Yeah.
You know, because they use their little paws a lot.
You teach them to wash your food because they already do that.
They do that. They wash their food.
And do that.
That'd be funny. We'll teach them to comb people's hair and charge people like $80 an hour to play with the raccoons.
You think? Okay. All right.
That's just so weird, y'all. I don't know where he gets some of this stuff from.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show, and now it's time when we want to thank our guest, our buddy Mike Johnson down there at the Clinton House Plantation. Hey, go down there and see them. They got a lot of stuff going on.
It's a cool place.
And you might not find Mike, but you go down there and find Dawn.
Mike's probably out in the field right now.
And Dawn will help you out. They're already doing quail shoots, so you can go down there and shoot some quail. Don't have to be a member to do that. They'll work out something for you there.
Yeah.
I also want to thank our buddy Robert Bean Blossom, the volunteer caretaker. Y'all go up here and see him after the 21st. They're on their tour, but he'll be at the Cradle of Forestry in America Interpretive Center. So
I learned something new. I did not know that was even up the road.
Absolutely. So, thanks for listening to the show. God bless. Have a great week. And I'm headed for the woods.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great weekend. Right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.